Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Machine. I'm your host, Shane Miller, and today we have Sherry Langbert, the CEO and founder of Babblebox. How are you doing, Sherry?
I am great. Hi, Shane. How are you?
I am awesome. Just coming off of Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving as well.
I did. As they say, eat and exercise.
Yes.
I've only done one thing well.
Exactly. My father-in-law makes this amazing turkey tetrazzini. It's like a turkey pasta dish. And so we always use the leftovers to make it. So I've had turkey for 4 days in a row now. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Babblebox? You know, it's the owner. I think you do a much better job than I ever would.
Sure. Thank you. Babblebox is a full service influencer marketing agency. Sounds kind of funny saying full service and influencer, but we really stay in our lane. We do everything influencer, but we do a lot of influencer marketing programming and offerings. So I think we're unique in that sense.
Cool. Very cool. And so tell me a little bit more about, you know, influencer marketing and what exactly your clients are coming to you for.
Yeah. So we've been in this space for more than a decade. And, you know, what it started out as is really not what it is now. We still do everything that we always did, like the brand dedicated activations. But where we're unique is our boxes. So companies come to us, whether it's brand dedicated activations or our custom seating kits, you know, those unboxing kits that you see influencers opening up on Instagram and TikTok. We do all of that. We also have a unique solution, which is our Babblebox, which is a box that is multi-brand. So that's another pretty interesting thing. I think companies come to us for that if they need like more of an always on or something very seasonally driven. And this year, what we're seeing a lot of is really a lot of retail. So retail activations, can you show the influencers going into X, Y, and Z retailer down to the shelf level? I think there's a lot of use cases as to why companies need that, not necessarily the retailer, but the brands in the retail outlets. We see a lot more of the, we can't keep up with the demands of content. So it's not necessarily just about the awareness side of influencer, but the UGC side or just kind of this always on, we just need consistent, we need to maintain that consistency throughout the year. So more always on programming rather than burst campaigns. Ratings and reviews, a big one too, where and if it's allowed permitted, building that social credibility and proof online. And, you know, in the back half of this year, we've seen a lot more with events, like we're doing events. How do we get influencers to events? How do we let influencers promote our events, et cetera. So a lot of new and exciting things happening. And I think it just keeps evolving. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So you guys really are all influencer marketing, like service based, like everything influencer marketing you do.
Yep. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so what's like the best way to demonstrate like ROI, for example, to a client through influencer services?
I mean, look, I think that there's different ways to look at it. If it's purely sales, I'm going to put that to the side. But if you're going to say, what's ROI? How do you count ROI? Is it savings? Because if you had to go and produce content and hire content developers and writers, I'll say this, like when I used to work in the world of recipe, that there's a spend that goes along with hiring editorial staffs. So it's not necessarily a sale, but it's definitely, you know, using influencer to create that content and save those dollars while also generating awareness. There's an ROI there. If it's purely sales driven, you could track down to the link. I think another good thing to look at is, and what we look at too, is the saves, the sticker taps, the story link clicks, the shares. because the path to purchase, as we all know, it's not linear, right? Like people are coming in from anywhere and everywhere. And just because you see something once, but if someone saves it or someone shares it, I think it kind of is a good indicator that they want to go back and purchase it. They're intrigued enough to save it. They're intrigued enough to pass it forward to a friend. So those are some really good metrics in terms of link clicks, sticker taps, saves, shares, I think are really how you look at some of it. And we look at the earned media value too. So, you know, if you spend this much on influencer based on all these other numbers, what was, you know, kind of the earned media? How much value did you get as a result of all those shares, saves, comments, et cetera?
Got it. I mean, but people don't realize, like, what's the phrase, a dollar saved is a dollar earned, penny saved, penny earned, right?
Yep.
And so I feel like it's so important to keep that in mind. What are you saving by using our services, you know?
Well, I think that that's the big thing with influencer. It's like everyone's like, what's my ROI? How many sales did I get? It's not affiliate. And I think we have to remember that affiliates are trained, or they train themselves and they know how to sell. And I think when you look at the whole influencer, it's plug and play. It can go into any part of your organization. We do it for market research. We do it for, you know, the retail. It could be in any part of your organization, and it's a savings. It helps with UGC. It helps with event promotion. There's so many different elements of it. And I think that people need to look at where are you saving, as well as what are the other use cases and how are you moving the needle awareness wise.
Got it. Okay. Love that. And so what kind of company has the most success with you guys? Like what is your ideal customer?
That's a hard one because, you know, one would think it's beauty, right? All the beauty influencers. And I will tell you this, beauty is our least popular category, not for any reason. I think we do a lot with food brands. I think we're one of the only ones because of our kits, right? You don't necessarily need a box, and not everyone comes to us for the boxes. But because we do the boxes and we could ship frozen foods, that's a big category because no one wants to touch shipping frozen foods, and we do. But we're seeing, you know, we do standalone campaigns. So we see a lot with government campaigns, do buckle up campaigns, you know, the PSA ones, a lot with education, a lot with city. So, you know, there's the general consumer products, but then we go beyond that and it could be government, education, healthcare, you name it.
Yep. Got it. Makes sense. And so, you know, what's the growth plan to finding them? So how are you guys getting through the door right now?
How do we find new clients?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm looking to you. No, I'm kidding. Look, I think we're different. We are an agency, but my whole background was ad sales. And so the way that we kind of break what we do out, we do have a sales team and we're constantly, you know, telling people about what we do. I think because we do our co-op boxes, it gives us a cadence and a structure. Those need to be filled. And every month we're telling our partners and brands and agencies, hey, we have this, you know, Valentine's Day kit going out. Do you want to be in it? So we're constantly in touch with, you know, different partners. And I think the structure of those themes hit on all the tentpoles throughout the year. So we're able to easily say, you interested in a new mom and baby campaign? We're gearing up for one because they're multi-brand. They're a little bit more easy to kind of for someone to digest than like, hey, do you want to hire me as your agency of record for the next 10 years?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, I mean, I think having a really solid sales system in place, and I'm so glad to hear that you guys do have like a sales team, is so important, and giving them the resources they need to go out and pound the pavement and make those sales, right? Make the calls, knock on doors, whatever they need to do to get that business in.
I mean, do most, because what I've understood, and again, I've built this agency like in my little cocoon over here. In the research I've done, most agencies, it's really referral. And I think we're different because we're not all referral. We're just like sell. And not in a sell way necessarily, but just like, hey, we have this opportunity. It could be a great fit for you. I don't know. I'd be interested in hearing, yeah, your side of it.
Yeah, no, I think referrals are always great, right? But
yeah.
You can't grow like a really big agency just off of referrals. And I think what else is also really hard about relying on referrals is sometimes they dry up, right? So I think having a really solid outreach system is worth its weight in gold, right? So, you know, for example, we get all of our clients really through podcasting. I mean, you know, it's exactly what we do. We reach out to people that we think would be great guests and also great clients, right? And so it's something that works extremely well. You know, it's something our clients love too, because we do that for our clients all the time as well. And just finding unique ways to start conversations is, I think, the key to success in this market. You know?
Yeah. It's yeah. really hard because, you know, when I started in this space, people, it was the opposite. People were like, what's influencer marketing? It was back in the days of bloggers. And like, you know, and now it's like anyone could say that they do influencer marketing. And then there's the SaaS platforms and all that. So it's like, how do you stand out? Becomes increasingly hard, especially with email and LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is, I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I know. It's hard because everyone is receiving 100 emails per day saying, hey, buy my services. You know, I'm sure you receive them all the time too, right? And so it's even hard to come up with really unique offerings. Like I'm on LinkedIn now and I got a LinkedIn Pro package or whatever so that I can start doing outreach. And I receive so much in mail that's just, hey, if I could get you 20 leads or you get your money back. Yeah, you know, it's constant. And it's at the point where, like, I don't know if you know her, like, Alex Hormozi. Have you ever heard that name before? Yeah, I mean, most people have. And so his
whole... They keep pitching me to come to an event in January.
Oh, yeah? I mean, you know, he's a really smart guy. And his advice launched, like, this refund guarantee movement, you know, the $100 million offer. But now everyone's doing it. It's almost become, like, this race to the bottom. And... you know, it's just, you can't stand out with that messaging anymore. And so you really need to start conversations in a unique way. And this is just our way that we've kind of done it. A lot of people form a podcast and they spend a lot of time on every single episode. And they are like, okay, well, maybe in 6 months, we'll start getting organic traffic and becomes about clout. But the way we approach it is with like an army-like precision. This is a sales funnel. Like, this isn't for clout. This is, you know, to create content.
You're meeting new people each time.
Yeah, exactly. You're meeting new people. And it's, you know, it's very, very precise how we handle things. And
it's brilliant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it's that's the way we do it. And it's working so, so, so well. We just brought on a client and, you know, Working Planet. One of a couple, maybe like 10 episodes ago. And within like 5 days of launching emails, we're already getting like a booking per day on a ramp up period. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's just, and these are with, you know, companies who are doing, you know, hundreds of million dollars in sales and have like 500 to 1,000 employees. So these are not, you know, small little brands. It's just, I think it's just in today's day and age, you need to think of something unique. It can't just be, hey, buy my services. If you look at your email and it says, hey, buy my services in any way, then you're going to have a real uphill battle trying to get it to perform.
Yeah. No, agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as we kind of come to the end of the podcast here, Sherry, I try to get, I feel like I've said this every time, my last 20 podcasts, but I try to get more unique with my questions here. So what I'm going to ask you is, when did you feel like it was the right time to hire a sales team?
From day one.
Day one?
I mean, I was the first person pitching. And then once I was at capacity, and then there were so many campaigns. So now I'm helping the campaign people manage. So I'm the general, but then I was like, if we want to grow, we need to bring more people on.
Yep. I completely agree.
And there's a math to it. You know the math. Hard to find good salespeople. Sales isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's hard. And it's like, you have to think of things too. Like, what's a cold traffic friendly offer, right? Stuff like that. And it's hard for salespeople to come up with that. It's people don't realize, like, they hire salespeople and they think, okay, they're just gonna be able to sell. Let's just set them off. They're good person. Like, you need to give them the resources to actually sell.
Yeah.
And they say the best way to hang on to really good salespeople is to give them something easy to sell. So, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, Sherry, I really appreciate you coming on. For anyone,
of course, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone listening, if you'd like to learn more about Babblebox, you can be able to find their URL in the podcast description. Again, thanks so much, Sherry.
Thank you. I'll speak to you soon. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.